The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker, this community of Jesus' apprentices that are trying to learn how to love and serve like the Master. I'm so glad that you have joined us today for our journey, this transformational journey, as we spend time with Jesus and reflect who He was so we can see how we are supposed to be. Well, as you know, this community, the Rescue Worker community, we have a model that we try to live for. And the model for our community is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the model that you and I should live for. Loving God, loving your neighbors, and loving yourselves. Well, on our journey together of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we have been studying and reflecting on the life of Jesus and trying to understand who was Jesus, God, His kingdom, and His mission. And the same way, trying to find how we're supposed to see one another, how we're supposed to relate to God and experience God's kingdom and our purpose for our existence. And on this journey, we have a memory verse where we try to memorize every single week one Bible verse. And the Bible portion for this week comes from Luke chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. So we see here how Levi answered in a proper way the call of Jesus Christ. And somehow we need to do the same, because the same call is made for you and for me. And as we follow this call, we are following the purpose of our lives. It is to be the image and the likeness of God. That is what means to be a follower of Christ. Reflect the image and the likeness of God. And you and I are supposed to do that. And the only way for us, following and broken human beings, to reflect the image and likeness as much as possible is through a process that is a long life process, a transformational process, that the Holy Spirit is the one doing this process. So every day we need to position ourselves for the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that was at Jesus' life, working and leading him, is at our lives today, aiming for our openness and availability for working our lives. Are you willing to do that? And every time we come for this transformational process and allow ourselves to be transformed by God, we will receive the mercy and grace that we must need for this transformational process. The book of Hebrews says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." It's through the Holy Spirit, through the grace and mercy of God, that we are transformed. And the only way to receive that is coming before God, before the throne of grace. So for that, I want to encourage you. I want to invite you to come to God's presence through prayer and Bible study. I want to give you a minute where you can prepare yourself for this encounter. Where can you align to God's voice? Where you try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's impression. Where you try to be open so you can be transformed. So take this minute for prayer and reflection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to get together as community, as apprentices of Jesus Christ, so we can learn from Him about God, the kingdom, about the mission of Jesus Christ, who He was, so we can surrender to Him and follow Him and emulate His life. Help us, Lord, and forgive our sins, and bless on our walk today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So take your Bible, maybe your cell phone or iPad or computer, and look for Luke chapter 6. Today we'll be studying the first 5 verses. But before we go there, I think it's good for us to position ourselves where we are on Jesus' account. And more than that, what is the narrative that Luke's trying to build and convey here? Remember, Luke, he works and he's a disciple of Paul. He's going from town to town, presenting Jesus to people that have not heard about Jesus. So Luke felt the need to register the story of Jesus in a way that those people that he's trying to share God's love can understand the person and the ministry of Jesus. So one of the main goals of Luke's gospel is to describe who is Jesus. And he tries to do that in a very unique way on the first chapters, at the baptism, at the temptation, and Jesus' public ministry. So at Jesus' public ministry, we see Luke presenting Jesus as the great rabbi, preacher, teacher, the one that has power over the demons and evil spirits, the one that has power over diseases and over nature, has authority to forgive sins. He's God, He's the Son of Man. We see him, Luke, describing Jesus in a very beautiful way. And as Jesus accepts his identity and his mission and live out the principles of the kingdom of God, there's a tension with the religious group at the time. They cannot perceive the kingdom of God the same way Jesus did. They cannot understand the mission and who was Jesus because they didn't understand the kingdom of God. And we are studying what we call the 6 tensions between Jesus and the leaders. And on these 6 tensions, and today we're studying the 5th one, is related to 4 main topics. The first one was how Jesus claimed that he can forgive sins, because Jesus is God. So he can forgive sins, and they cannot understand that. The second issue is why Jesus sat with sinners. Well, the Pharisees and the leaders at the time, right? The doctors of the law, the Torah, they understood that in order to the kingdom of God to come, they need to be poor, be away from sin, so they will not sit with people, will not eat with people, will not hang out with people that were not considered clean. But Jesus was there because the kingdom of God is an inclusive kingdom. So there's a tension there. We studied the tension between fasting. And now we'll see the tension related to the Sabbath day. And we need to keep that in mind, that the main goal of Luke here is to present who is Jesus. We will see that the question is not, should we keep the Sabbath or not? That's not what Luke is trying to convey or answer here. How should we keep the Sabbath? That's not the question that Luke is trying to convey. Because for Luke, that is something clear. And we see in the Gospel of Luke and also in the book of Acts that we believe that Luke wrote. Yes, the Sabbath is God's memorial. Sabbath is the day that brings us back to the creation. The Sabbath is the sign of God as creator and ruler of the universe. So the question for Luke is not about should we keep the Sabbath or not, or how to keep the Sabbath. The question for Luke is who is Jesus in relation with the Sabbath. And that's what we'll try to keep the point here. But as we study Jesus here, again, we need to keep in mind the mission, the script for Jesus' life and ministry. And that script is found in Luke 4, verse 18, 19. That was the first words of the public ministry of Jesus. Hey, I came for this and I'll live for this. So somehow we need to interpret or read all the account of Jesus through the lens of Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is upon Jesus. Jesus works through the Spirit of God. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He's here to bring the news about God's kingdom to the poor. And remember, poor for Luke is not only related to a socioeconomic aspect, but is any aspect related that is unfavorable. So if someone is living in an unfavorable situation, circumstance, that's considered poor. So if you live in an unfavorable socioeconomic aspect, you're poor. If you live in an unfavorable situation of gender, yes, so you're poor. If you live in an unfavorable situation of spirituality, yes, you're considered poor. So Jesus comes to bring the good news, that they're good news to the marginalized, they're good news to those unfavorable. He has sent to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. And here we see the Jubilee Sabbath, the concept of grace, where people would be forgiven and restored. And I think more than ever, this verse is applicable to the Sabbath context and what we'll be studying. Because for those that didn't keep the Sabbath away the same way that the Pharisees had their idea, they were unfavorable, so they are poor. And now Jesus comes to bring the good news, the reality of the Sabbath, the day to describe and present God's character. People were captive because of their understanding of the Sabbath, their narrow understanding of the Sabbath. And now Jesus comes to release them from that captivity. Jesus came to give sight to the blind. You're not seeing me. You don't see God. You don't see the reason for the Sabbath. I came to give you sight for that. That the oppressed will be set free. Hey, you being oppressed by the Sabbath. Let help you to be free. And more than that, there are people that are oppressed on the Sabbath day. You should use this day to set people free. And the time the Lord's favor has come. The Sabbath is the true Sabbath, the biblical Sabbath, is the true understanding of grace. For me, the Sabbath is the most deepest and complex aspect in the Bible. And most of the time we don't grasp this concept. And we miss the beauties. But having all that in mind as background, let's turn to Luke chapter 6. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples broke off heads of grain, rubbed off the husks and their hands, and ate the grain. So what we see here? Jesus walking with his disciples in a Sabbath day. Here, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus did that, but mention about his disciples. They are hungry. They need to eat. So they are in a field. And there's some crops there, and they eat those. So there's a need. Someone is in need of food, and they eat. But what happened, verse 2? But some Pharisees said, "Why are you breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" So, the Pharisees are mentioning a law from Exodus 34, and if I'm not wrong, verse 21. So, Exodus 34, verse 21. "You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But on the seventh day, you must stop working, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest." So here there's a clear commandment that on the Sabbath day you are not supposed to harvest. But somehow the Pharisees understood that the act of taking some grains and eating them was a process of harvesting. Therefore, they are breaking the Sabbath. First of all, we need to keep in mind a very important concept and aspect as we study the Bible. And the first one that I want to point out to you is that we need to take in consideration the time, the people, the structure of the people, the condition of the people when God relates to them and gave commandments to them. You see, in Exodus chapter 34, it's very clear God is giving his commandment to people that came from Egypt. They spent there 430 years or 400 years in slavery. They are there and they lost their ability to think properly. The conditions there make them animals in a sense. They became slaves without the opportunity to think for themselves. And they were all supposed to follow rules. They were inserted in a very pagan context. And now God must relate to them the way they understand. So the way people understand their structure, their mental abilities will impact the way God relates to them. It's like, I have two kids. I have Christopher, 5 years old, and Oliver is 8 years old. With Olivia, I have right now the opportunity to dialogue with her sometimes. And even appeal to her rationality and say, think with me here. Based on this, what do you think would be the best call for you? Based on what is right or wrong, based on what's appropriate for you, your age. You see, I can have a dialogue with her, and it's a different experience and relationship than with my son. My son, yes, he's developing those aspects, but he's still, as my wife and I say, our baby. And for him, the language that he understands better at this moment is clear orders, because he cannot take in consideration all the elements of what's right or wrong, what's more appropriate for me. It's more about the need or what I want, right? And then we say, nope, you cannot eat this right now. It is time for bed. Like, you give clear orders to him. And in a sense, we need to understand that, because the relationship with God and humankind is based on this kind of structure. Who can understand how to understand? So God will behave in a different way depending on to whom he's speaking, based on their structure, their understanding. And what we see here, it's a group of people that it came from slavery, people that had an understanding of God very close to pagan understand, where you need to please and appease, you need to fear God, and you need to have clear ideas and thoughts. They don't know how to use their freedom properly. And we see that social construction challenge throughout the life of the people of Israel, the journey of the people of Israel in the desert. So Jesus must relate with them, and so he give clear orders. But the words, the letters of the instructions, the commandments, they have a meaning that we need to pay attention to. More important than the words and the letters of the law is the spirit of the law. And because we don't understand the Sabbath day, we don't understand the laws. And it's easier to keep the letter of the law, and maybe with the letter of the law, break the spirit of the law. So what do we see here? The Pharisees saying, your disciples, Jesus. You, it's not talk about Jesus, talk about the disciples. You, right? Why you're breaking the law harvesting? Someone is in need. But for them, the law is more important than the need of the people. And here is the point. I was waiting maybe to do at the end, but I will do it right now. What will be some of the concepts of the Sabbath? You see, the Sabbath is the recognition of who God is. He is the ruler of the universe. He is the one that legislates. He is the one that says what is right and what is wrong. The Sabbath is a recognition of who God is and who we are. Because God rules over the universe, he created us according to his image and gave us the opportunity to rule over this planet. We are rulers because God is the ruler. We reign because God reigns. And I'm referring to Genesis chapter 1. But on the Sabbath day, man is supposed to stop reigning ruling. To recognize that the only reason they reign, they rule, is because God rules. You recognize that you are the son and daughter of God. And because of that, He rules. So the Sabbath is recognition of who God is and who we are. And because the Sabbath is recognition of who God is a God of grace. You see, what humankind had done, what Adam and Eve had done to receive the blessing to be created according to God's image and likeness? Nothing. What Adam and Eve had done to receive the authority to rule over the planet? Nothing. What Adam and Eve had done to receive the Garden of Eden, that perfect home? What they have done to deserve that? Nothing. What Adam and Eve had done to be invited to rest with God? Nothing. They were not even tired. But you see, God is a kingdom of grace. And grace has been present and alive even before sin. Receiving what I don't deserve. And on the Sabbath day, we celebrate God's grace and recognize that God is graceful. And in the Sabbath day, we share the grace of God, being graceful to others. On the Sabbath day, we are supposed to understand and rely that God is provider. We stop working and trying to provide for ourselves and rely that God can provide, even though I will not work. The Sabbath is a day of faith. Sabbath is a day that I believe that God can provide. And I will not rely on my efforts, but I will rely on God's love and Himself. You see, how deep is the Sabbath concept as we go and study the theology of the Sabbath? So the Sabbath is the day of God. So therefore, the Sabbath is the day that we reflect and should reflect God. But here's the issue of the Pharisees and why they are concerned, why the disciples were breaking the Sabbath. You see, the Pharisees, they had the beautiful goal of seeing God's kingdom being implemented in this earth. For sure, they had a misconception about the God's kingdom as a political kingdom with a political king. No, that's not the kingdom of God, according what Jesus presented. Will be something political, but that's not the main goal. But they had this idea. And the way that they understood that the kingdom of God would be implemented was by keeping the laws of God perfect. And if for some reason they were on that situation, it's because the laws of God were not kept properly. So what they did, they developed other laws to protect the main law to be broken so God's kingdom can be implemented. So for them, for the disciples of Jesus, breaking the law is saying you're being a stumbling block for God's kingdom to come here. We need to keep the laws perfectly so God can give us His kingdom. So they create a monastic understanding of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath will be a way of God implementing His kingdom. But what they don't understand is the kingdom was there already in Jesus Christ. And the way to implement the kingdom was not keeping the Sabbath, but using the Sabbath as a day of love and care. The kingdom of God is not implemented by observance of any rule or the observance of the Sabbath. But the kingdom of God is implemented when the followers of Jesus Christ, the apprentices of Jesus, they leave the life of Jesus, and live the principles and the values of the kingdom that represent who God is, the grace and the love that God is. So we have someone in need, is hungry. So they take some food to eat. It's grace. God provide for them food before they even were, before they were hungry. It is grace that God gave sun and the rain for the crop. It is grace. And they are in need. So, but they had captives, been captives by their understanding, their legislation of the law. So what Jesus does here? Jesus doesn't go and confront their view of the Sabbath, or if should keep the Sabbath, or how to observe Sabbath. Pay attention how Jesus did. Verse 3, Jesus replied, "Haven't not you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry?" So he goes back to 1 Samuel 21. And I encourage you to read later. 1 Samuel 21. David had been anointed to be king. He's not king yet, but he has anointed to be king. Okay? Kinging the king to come. However, Saul wanted to kill David. He's able to escape with a few men. Because his escape was suddenly, he didn't have provisions, he didn't have food, he didn't pack things that were necessary. And his men, the men that were with David, that came to protect David, to be with David, they are hungry. And this is not related to Sabbath day, it's just talk about David. So what happened on 1 Samuel 21? Verse 4 gives an overview. He went into the house of God and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests can eat. He also gave some to his companions. So when David was fleeing, he gets to the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle and later in the temple, there are the loaves of bread that would go inside of the tabernacle and would stay there for a few days. And they had to replace those with fresh loaves of bread. The old loaves of bread that come out from the tabernacle were supposed to be eaten by the priests and the priests alone. That's according to the law. However, David, the future king, is fleeing and there's no food. So he approached the priest and say, "Do you have food? I need to eat with my men." And he said, "Sorry, I don't have any food. The only thing I have is those breads. But those are sacred and only the priest can eat." So here, what David does, he breaks a law to provide, he breaks the wording of the law to provide real meaning for any law. Love, care for one another, care for the needs. And he's saying, the love for one another, the love for God is above any rule and is the meaning, the true meaning of any rule. So David ate that. The kingdom, the king to come ate something to provide. Why he broke? He broke because he was providing for someone in need. What Jesus is saying? Yes, I'm from David's lineage, but I'm the true king. And I'm allowing to the Sabbath day to be used for the sake for the people, to provide for the need. For those that are hungry, they can eat. And then he finishes with verse 5. And Jesus added, "The Son of Man," that phrase that we study when Jesus forgave the sin of the paralyzed man. The Son of Man referred to the Messiah, God, and Daniel chapter 7, someone that legislates. So Jesus called him the one God that legislates and he can forgive sins. So he's saying the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. So what is he saying? He's saying, I am the legislator. I'm the one that says what is right, what is wrong. You are not. I am the creator and I'll provide on the Sabbath day. So you can rest that I will provide the provision. I'm the ruler. I am God. I'm the one that created the Sabbath day for humankind, the Garden of Eden, in the creation of the world. I am God, the creator, and I'm here to demonstrate what the really true meaning of the Sabbath day. Jesus is saying, more important than anything, is the love and care. But who is Jesus? The one that rules over the Sabbath. He is the creator. The creator where you stop doing because he has done. Where you stopping judging and let him to judge. Where you rest that he will provide for you what is necessary. The kingdom will not be provided by how you keep the laws, but the kingdom will be provided by Jesus Christ. It's deeper than we think and beautiful. Because when Jesus said that, he's hearing first the Sabbath day. And he's saying, look at the Sabbath because you will see me, the ruler, the judge, the provider, the graceful one. So my question for you today, are you experiencing the ruler, the judge, the provider, and the graceful one in your life and in the Sabbath day? And how are you keeping the Sabbath day? Are you making the Sabbath day a day that reflects the ruler and the legislator of the universe, showing grace, being a day to proclaim the good news for the poor, being a day that proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and you experience the grace of God? Or are you keeping the Sabbath as a day like the Pharisees did? A monastic day? Or is a day of serving and showing God's love and care? You see, the kingdom and the memorial of the kingdom, the Sabbath day, are crucial to understand who God is and our relationship. And we can get all wrong. And I do believe that there are many people that don't understand the true meaning of the Sabbath and God. And God wants us to bring the good news to those that are unfavorable on their views about the Sabbath. To let people free from this captive where rules are more important than people. Rules are more important than grace. Rules are more important than being kind. Rules are more important than community. That's not the goal. That's not who God is. And that's not the Sabbath that God has designed. And I do believe that I prefer to break these rules than keep this false Sabbath in order to proclaim the true Sabbath of God. A day of compassion. A day of showing grace. Bring the good news. Providing for the captives. provide insight. May God bless us. And may we be like Jesus' apprentices, promoting the rest on the Sabbath day and not promoting like the Pharisees did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for this study. Thank you for understanding more about you and who you are. Forgive our sins, Lord, and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to our questions for reflection, and I encourage you to journal based on those questions. What is happening in this passage that we just read today? What is talk out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, may God bless you. I hope to see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll see another discussion about the Sabbath, right? And Jesus trying to make them to understand the real meaning of the Sabbath day. And I think we need to pay attention because that will provide the real meaning of the Sabbath day. And I hope you'll be with us. And I encourage you to share these messages if they are a blessing to you. As you know, we have an archive available for you of all the sessions. By God's grace, we have been able to keep a recording of all the sessions on YouTube, Facebook, and podcast, and even you can share. I know I was talking with a pastor yesterday, and he used some of the videos that we present here as messages for his church. And this study, they're studying the Luke, the Gospel of Luke. They are using those videos as well. I don't know how you use, but the main goal here is to proclaim the good news and proclaim the grace. May God bless you. I hope to see you tomorrow. And may we receive and experience Jesus and His Sabbath every week.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.